WGXC is a listener-supported community radio station, and it is also a new platform for presenting innovative experimental works on the air. Tune in, WGXC 90.7 FM, Agra, Hudson, Catskill, and points beyond. Listen to special programs of performance, words, sounds, and other rare and delicious items. Transmitting the arts all day every Saturday, and weekdays after midnight. Here is there.
You are listening to Human Machine, a program which airs each Saturday on WGXC 90.7 FM. Research in various fields examine the speculative next stage in human evolution, in which technological and human architectures will continue their deep convergence. Here we will present weekly works on the horizons of the human machine.
We invest billions in the development of intelligent human-like robots. We know they're going to arrive, but at the same time we're scared of them. The Japanese love robots. In Tokyo, there's even a robot restaurant. Mechanical dolls and robots have played an important part in Japanese culture. Naho Kitano is co-owner of HiBot, a robot firm that produces specialist robots that can crawl into any space. Before she owned this firm, she wrote extensively about robot ethics and about the ancient tradition of using mechanical dolls in Japanese culture, known as karakuri.
From the 16th, 17th century, the Japanese people enjoying seeing something moving automatically. We were enjoying that. That was a fact here. We can see the history. So for that sense, yes, we can say that this is a tradition of the Japanese robot, probably.
According to Kitano, this predilection for robots reflects on Japan as a nation of technology, but it also reflects on the age-old Japanese Shinto religion.
It's a new technology, and when Japanese people think of technology, technology had been always enhanced the quality of the life. It happened historically, first of all, that when civilization or westernization started in Japan, the technology made the change of the life. It was very innovative. So something the technological thinks always changes. From Japanese point of view, our life's better. And second of all, Japan had a culture that believes any substantial items has some sort of soul. It's quite difficult to explain because the keyword of the soul, as for example in English, means, and what we Japanese means of soul is different. Soul doesn't mean, for example, in a Catholic or philosophical way of spirit. It doesn't mean that. It's like something there. It's like ontological way. We believe that some sort of things there, although it there isn't anything. So why this understanding comes is because Japanese people understand society more as a harmonization, or I used to call it the betweenness. And this betweenness creates the society. So what I think of this item, or what I think of this person, and this between the communication, this part creates the meanings to this item.
Robots with souls. To us, that's a problem. But the Japanese can identify with them. As we can see, when their robot dog is broken. After a two-hour drive from Tokyo, we find the Funabashi family at their small-town home. Next to the house is a workshop with a number of robot dogs. They are Aibos, built by Sony some 15 years ago. In 2007, they stopped building the Aibos, and in 2014, they stopped servicing them. Former Sony employee Nobuyuki Norimatsu took the Aibo servicing over when he noticed that many owners felt seriously sad when their Aibos broke down.
People have Aibo robots for different reasons. They like them and see them as family members. So it's very sad for them if their Aibo breaks down. This is the type of robot that develops step by step, depending on what the owner teaches it. That's why every Aibo has its own character. It's independent. It's made like that. Of the Aibo that come here, one talks a lot, one a little, one moves a lot, one not very much. Every Aibo has its own character. It's your pet and your friend. In Japan, every object has a soul. For instance, the sea has a god. Every tangible object has a soul. That's why someone might see their robot as a pet. When we get a robot, we might use a part for something else. But first we get rid of its soul. We return the soul to the owner. We conduct a ritual in a Buddhist temple. The robot taken into the temple was given to us by the owner. We take it into the temple. We must be very careful with
it.
And this way, we hope that this way can help people to live with this robot.
Social robots are intended to help the Japanese in their homes, but also to take care of the elderly in nursing homes. About 10 years ago, the Japanese government introduced the Next Generation Robot Program. Many millions of yen found their way to, amongst other places, Hiroshi Ishiguro's robot lab. He is specialized in robots that look very much like humans. He calls them geminoids, robot twins.
An exact definition of a geminoid, it's a robot that is made in the image of an existing human.
If you want, you can touch me. You're touching me, right? How does it feel to touch me? You don't need to be afraid.
スタートボタンを押すだけで、あとはもう全自動で。
You only need to push the power button. She can do more tasks at the same time than humans. She does not need a break, and she does not complain. She will introduce herself.
私の名前はジェミノイド F です。これは。
Hello, my name is Geminoid F. This is a demonstration. I was developed by Ishiguro's Institute as a human robot.I am a female android.
開発されました。アンドロイドの女性型のロボットです。
Do you like Japan?
Ishiguro's robots are world famous. In museums, people marvel at their lifelike appearance.
ちょっと顔が硬いかな。
You can smile to me.
In Tokyo's Science Center, Mirai-kan, a copy of a real Japanese newsreader reads news bulletins all day long. But in real life, they are also used as receptionists or as salespeople in shoe and clothing stores.
Android はすでに私たちの生活のさまざまな場面で、これまでは
Androids in all their different facets are present in our lives, carrying out tasks that used to be done only by humans. For instance, as shopkeepers and receptionists, helping out customers, as salespeople and as actors or as models. In the near future, the boundary between robots and humans will become more vague.The time when robots will be a natural presence in our life may not be far away. What is human?
Well, sometimes the robot is much better than the human because we don't feel the strong pressure, right? When we talk to the people, right? And sometimes we feel the very strong pressure, right? And but, you know,Well, the robot is sometimes better, especially for the elderly, autism kids.、Right?
They're not feared by the robot somehow.、
How do you think about yourself?
Well, sometimes it looks...、
How about...、the robot is scary?
No, it's not scary. It's not scary. It's strange.、
Strange?And then why don't you have a seat and just talk, right? It is not so strange.
No.
She's not strange, you know. But once you talk with her, right, you're going to change your mind completely.
And not strange in the sense that it's strange, but it's peculiar that
just have a chat. Look, give her the hug and then...
It almost feels intimate, touch her or something like that.
Uh-huh. But you should try. Come.
I try. So, but
no.
Yeah.
No.
And then, yeah, but it feels so strange. I mean, sort
Why?
Of. Well, it feels intimate somehow to touch her and just.
Yeah, like a human.
Yeah, that's true. The only thing is she's cold.
She's cold.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't mind touching
don't
mind. You? Oh, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
He's talking.
Ishiguro wanted to be an artist, but his drawing skills were not good enough. So he decided to make robots. Some vanity did play a role in this. He decided to make a copy of himself.
Konnichiwa.NTR 大阪大学の石黒です。
こんにちは。私は石黒のアンドロイドジェミノイド HI-1 です。2006年に生まれました。
The Android is a mirror to reflect humanity, and by creating Android, so we understand the more about the human. So, and by creating myself, I try to understand the myself.
But you say it is a sort of mirror. How do you
mean? A mirror is, by interacting with Android and by watching the Android, so that we can compare Android and humans, and the Android can have many similar things to the humans, right? So we can tell the what is similar, what is not similar.
これちょっとストッキング変えなさいよ。
本当そうですよね。
ちょっと買っていいのにちょっと買ってやってくれへん、せめて。
買います、ちょっと、
うん、
すごい気になる。
このストッキングダメだろ。
本当これ先で使うのどうかと思いますよね。
うん、だからこのストッキングちょっとババ臭いしさ、でこの上に履かしたらどうなるの、もうちょっとなんていうか、このババ臭いやつじゃなくって。え、靴も買ってくれた？
靴も買いました。
Our goal is to have a more human-like robot and more and more, right? We're gonna improve many things. We're gonna improve the materials, mechanical design and software and control. You know, we're gonna every year we are improving more and more.
What role will they play
in the future society? Yeah. Right, and the future society, we're gonna use more robots. You know, the human brain has a very strong innate function to recognize human. So that means, you know, human is the best interface for the human. So everything is going to be more human-like. For example, at home, especially in Japan, many electric stuff and the gadgets are speaking, right? For example, rice cookers and refrigerators and microwave, they are speaking, right? It's so human-like. Well, you know, the appearance is not human-like, but the voice is quite human-like. So, the human-like modality is good for the human as an interface. Okay, so what I strongly believe, you know, near futures, we're gonna use more human-like robots, many places, schools, stations, everywhere.
It's also the Aldebaran company's opinion that robots should look like humans. They have been producing the expensive study robot now, but things will change soon. Now there is Pepper, a new household robot at only $2,000.
ちなみに皆さん、Pepper に初めて触れるという方はどれくらいいらっしゃいますか？
It is supposed to become the iPad amongst robots, for which apps can be developed to bring it alive.
こんにちは。僕はペッパー41。僕の IP アドレスは 192A168A。
まずは一番基本的な機能として喋るという機能を使いたいと思います。
私は今、ペッパーの踊りや面白い動きの、モーションを作っています。
ペットを認識するモジュールを作っています。このペットを認識するモジュールは猫、犬、鳥を認識することができます。
私のお客様は、建築業の会社です。で、その会社の方が、その建築業の方のお客様のためにカンナ掛けをしているシーンをデモンストレートにしたいと、ペッパーを使って。
For the personal computer, the computer was quite expensive, and the people cannot use it, right? But universities and some rich companies, they could use their computers, right? But with the personal computers like Macintosh, you know, many people start to develop various softwares, and the same thing happens with the robot. Okay, and the personal robot may change this world again within a couple of years. So that is a possibility. Human machine gon' get the human ma. Human machine gon' get the human ma. Human machine gon' get the human machine. They all around the corners of this nation. Say here comes man up on this latest election. Come here, come here, the Bible prediction. Come here, the Bible prediction. Come here, let me tell about the Armageddon. The clash of the Soviet and American. So which will be the greatest phenomenon? The thing known to you as the nuclear bomb. Say no to be the ultimate of all weapons. Just a slip of willow wipe out the population. Instead them help the people in a starvation. Then give them money to the bigger designation. The set of moon base, no free preparation. But step down Ethiopia, you see someone. Don't wonder if it's a person or skeleton. In South Africa, they still the black man. Use me if it's the moon looting plan. We take up a week for ruby and metal.
Vanessa Evers is professor of social robotics at the University of Twente in Holland. Here, they're improving the interaction between man and robot. Vanessa too sees Pepper as an important development.
Dat is een heel mooi platform, maar ik vind ook echt een mooi ontwikkeld platform. Er zit een goede camera in, er zit goede motoren in, goede computers zitten daarin, goed spul. En
It's a great platform. It's developed very well. It has a fine camera, fine motors, and fine computers. And it's not very expensive, which has been unheard of. So this opens up new robotic opportunities for a lot of people. Now people can develop new apps, just like apps for a mobile phone. This accelerates development. New services can be offered. Now only a few people can afford these platforms. But in the future this is going to change everything.
Een handjevol mensen in de wereld die platforms kunnen betalen en daar diensten op kunnen aanbieden. Maar volgens mij gaat dit er alles veranderen.
One of Vanessa's projects is a study of the very expressive robot Zeno, which can help children to learn.
Begin maar met een rood potje op pin 2 te zetten en een rood potje op pin 5.
Oké.
Heel goed. Je mag straks pas de houten blokken weghalen. Kun je vertellen, wat denk jij dat er met de balans gebeurt als je straks de blokken weghaalt?
Ik denk dat deze kant ietsjes meer omlaag gaat, maar niet veel.
Oké. Nu ga je het proefje doen. Haal de twee blokken die onder de balans staan maar weg.
Ja, wanneer je dus intelligent lesmateriaal gebruikt, en zeker wanneer daar sociale agents in.
When you use intelligent learning equipment, certainly with the use of a social agent, in this case a robot, we expect a social bond will develop. Because the robot has social behavior, this bond will develop between child and the learning equipment, the robot. We want to find out which bond works the best in the learning environment, which social interaction is desirable between child and the interactive equipment, which interaction improves the learning process and makes learning fun.
Goed zo. Vertel eens, wat is er gebeurd met de balans?
Ik had gelijk, hij is omlaag gegaan.
Dat is interessant.
Apart from educational robots, Avis is conducting research into robots that can help people at museums or airports. For this, you need social robots that can learn to understand people.
Please follow me.
Wat we vooral proberen te doen natuurlijk is begrijpen wat er nu gebeurt tussen mensen sociaal.
We want to understand what is happening socially, and to respond to that. We are studying how people work and move about in groups. How do people arrive at airports and move around the terminal? How can robots help them? Do they need guiding? How does the group react to new arrivals? What is the best approach? How quickly does the group move? We need to be able to answer these questions in order to improve the technology.
This robot was designed to allow for grown-ups to interact with it in a natural and friendly way, as if it were a child. If we can make a robot that is easy to touch and to interact with and play with as if it were a child, we can use the robot to study the grown-ups and how they experience emotions when interacting with children.
Creating childlike robots is very common. For a number of years, experiments have been conducted with robots that need to be educated. Because experts believe that if you want robots to behave intelligently, they must first be taught to discover the world.
The
Dit is CB2, een robot die in Japan is ontwikkeld.
This is CB2, developed in Japan. The idea behind this robot is that you need physical intelligence to explore the world. That it needs to physically use sensors and gestures. It will slowly learn to use its limbs. It slowly learns to crawl and to use its faculties to stand up and then walk. It is a piece of technology covered in silicone rubber. It is based on the way children learn to use their arms and legs. We want to imitate these motions and put them into a robot.
Maar blijkbaar willen we dus toch die bewegingen allemaal namaken, allemaal in die robot stoppen.
Ja, als wij kijken naar die robot.
It looks pathetic learning to walk to us, but it is just a machine. We are quick to see something human when it is not. It is like a doll, but it's a piece of responsive technology. The robot responds to what is happening to it. It's different, but we see something human in it as we do with dolls. The robot behaves as if it wants to achieve something, and we try to understand it.
Maar dat is ook niet zo raar, want het ziet er dus ook uit als een kind wat leert lopen.
Ja, ja, maar goed, hoe wij met poppen omgaan is een beetje hetzelfde. Maar bij een pop is het toch anders dan wanneer je een technologie hebt dat zelf reageert. Ja, dus deze robot die reageert op datgene wat ermee gebeurt. Als je hem oppikt, dan probeert hij of te staan of hij laat zich vallen. Het is toch wat anders dan alleen maar een pop. En een pop zien wij ook wel iets mensachtigs. Maar deze robot heeft gedrag waardoor het lijkt alsof hij zelf iets probeert te bereiken. En wij proberen dat te lezen. Wil hij nou wel gaan lopen of vindt hij het nou niet leuk dat er aan hem geshort wordt? Dit is iCub, een robot die in Italië is ontwikkeld.
This is iCub, a robot developed in Italy. The basic idea is that you need a body in order to learn. When you don't have hands or feet, you can't pick up objects. You can't learn. There is no cognition without a body. They worked this idea into the robot. It tries to feel to learn about its environment. By groping objects and determining colors, to learn about objects and how they relate to their environment. They develop cognition by experiencing and learning about their environment.
Het exploreren van de omgeving.
This is bare mechanics combined with programmed behavior. But apparently, we ourselves are programmed to interpret this as real. And in this way, the human robot is not so far away.
We zien een samenleving waarin autonome systemen ons herkennen, ons interpreteren.
We see a society in which autonomous systems recognize us, interpret us, and we produce a reaction to that. They play a part in society just as we and our pets and farm animals do. So we add a new agent to our society and we have to be ready for it. You can see them in the streets, in the hospitals and railway stations.
Living with robots, is it really possible? American philosopher Daniel Dennett has specialized in artificial intelligence. According to Dennett, we ourselves are robots. In fact, he goes a few steps further.
We're robots made of robots, made of robots, made of robots, made of robots. If you look at a single cell, a neuron or an astrocyte, that cell is a sort of autonomous robot of itself. And if you look inside the cell, you find even more robotic parts moving around. Motor proteins are very clearly, they're not even alive, they're just proteins, but there they are marching around inside a cell, carrying goods, creating little highways and then walking along the highways and doing all the transport that's needed inside a cell. Those are robots for sure. They're nanorobots. Not a single one of those knows who you are or cares. But how does a mind pop out? That's the question that concerns me the most. How in the world do you ever get that out of 200 billion clueless little robots? And the answer, I think, is only because of enculturation, only through culture. It's the evolution of culture that makes thousands of thinking tools, thousands of informational devices that are all designed, ready to use, that get installed in our brains, roughly the way you install an app on your smartphone. And these give a human brain all these other powers. They work together and they create functional architectural levels which simply don't and can't exist in the mind of even a chimpanzee. So it's the software, the levels and levels of software that are imposed on the underlying hardware of the brain that do all the work that make the consciousness. That's my theory. It's controversial, it's speculative, but I have, I think, some pretty good arguments for it.
Discussing about robo-ethics with the Western scholars, and I noticed that many Western researchers come from more like Catholic doctrines or like Christianity doctrines, meaning why human wants to create the humanoids, because we want to animate what God did it, in a sense, like creation of other life or creation of something moves automatically is imitates of the God. That was their theory in a sense. And I never heard that Japanese robotics researchers was thinking in such a way.
There are certainly many stories of clever creators making things that then double back and hurt them. It goes way back to Daedalus and the fall of Icarus. And I think that the emotional source is the sense that we're too clever by half sometimes, as one says. There should be a salutary warning to any great creative endeavor, the suggestion that it might backfire, it might be too much of a good thing, it might cause more problems than it solves. And we certainly know of examples, and we also know that it's apparently unstoppable.
Thank you.
For the Japanese, robot ethics are entirely different. For them, technology is what we make of it and how we deal with it. Japanese scientists are not afraid of technology, and this can be concluded from a list available on the Future of Life website, which shows a long list of names of scientists who are afraid of the way super-intelligent systems are developing. On this extensive list, hardly any Japanese names can be found. But why are we so afraid of things we are creating ourselves?
Already, you know, the computer is super intelligent, you know. For example, memories, you know, memory is much better than a human. So the cloud computer, you know, well, can have much stronger, the huge memories than the human. So it's a super intelligence, I think. So already we got that kind of technologies. Well, we are using computer and computer using human. But the question is, why human need to be special? Why human is, in some sense, superior than the computers, the robots? I don't know. Okay? Human is humans. Why we need to compare with others? So that is my question.
Can technology think? Watson can.
People and computers are always being compared. In two sacrosanct fields, man has already been defeated by IBM computers. Deep Blue beat the world's best chess player, and Watson beat the best Jeopardy player. Watson is now seen as the example of how far superintelligent systems can go.
When asked a question, Watson generates a hypothesis and comes up with both a response and a level of confidence. And then Watson shows you the steps it took to get to that response. In a way, Watson is reasoning. You don't program Watson, you work with Watson. And through your interactions with it, it learns, just like we do. Every experience you give it makes it smarter and faster.
Watson, right now, IBM's Watson. If it is what they say it is, and I'm going to say that they're giving a fairly good description of what its competence actually is, it should be able to help in medical diagnosis right now, because it can, using its deep learning techniques, go through inhuman amounts of data, looking for patterns that no human diagnostician would dream of looking for, could dream of looking for, and it will find some. And it will make these suggestions. And if you have Watson in the room with you when you're scratching your head about a hard case, Watson might make those off-the-wall suggestions that would never occur to a human diagnostician, however ingenious and brilliant. And then, that would be very valuable. You don't want to make that more human. You want to keep it inhuman. And as a sort of, like a prodigy, has a very one-dimensional talent that's just off the charts and is otherwise an idiot savant. So we may have these wonderful idiot savants made out of artificial intelligence. We already do. We already do. But the idea that you can take 500 idiot savants and put them together into a intelligent, super intelligent human being is just, I think, very unrealistic.
has some 80 billion brain cells, each of which can have between 1,000 and 10,000 connections. It's a system so complex that even the best computers can't compete.
We don't need to be afraid. We just live together. Okay. So, well, I don't understand why you need to differentiate the human and robot. Right? So human, why are we humans? Why we are not animals? Because we are using tools and technologies. Always in our histories, in our human histories, you know, it's a history for using technologies, right? So technologies and humans tightly coupled, right? We don't need to differentiate it, right? We are living together. Yeah.
Hello, I like your face. I was made to be hugged. I would very much like if you hug me. Oh, that's nice, but you can hold me closer. Yeah, that's very nice. Thank you.
Wat wij doen is volgens mij technologie. Menselijke capaciteiten geven, sociale intelligentie geven. Tot nu toe had je computers die intelligent waren.
What we do is to give technology human capacities, social intelligence. Up to now, we've had computers that are intelligent and computers that make intelligent decisions based on available data.
En daar iets betekenisvol aanbieden.
But now we want social intelligence, understanding humans, understanding how humans interact and offer them something meaningful. So we want to make computers socially intelligent.
Wij dan niet als groep, maar andere groepen hebben als doel om echt supermensachtige technologie te maken. Dat het niet.
But if it is our goal as a group to make superhuman technology, totally resembling humans, then to give society a boost.
Hartstikke mooi. Zouden we ook met vloeistof kunnen werken in robots om energie door het lichaam te kunnen gaan? Als je dat probeert voor elkaar.
You could say we'll have robots that we can't distinguish from humans. Correct. That would be the consequence.
Dat als doel pakken, daarmee duw je wetenschap heel erg. Ik denk dat ja, daar werken mensen naartoe. Dan zeg jij van ja, God, dan hebben we dadelijk.
Many ethicists and philosophers have thought this over. How society and our relation to technology would be.
Filosofen die zich daarover buigen, hoe die maatschappij dan uit gaat zien en hoe onze relatie met technologie dan gaat veranderen.
Ethicists may pose questions about the relationship of man and robot, but to Ishiguro, identification with his robot twin is already a fact.
Well, of course, you know, the Android never get old, but I don't get old too, because I'm doing plastic surgeries. It's a very light one. And, you know, well, the Android is my identity. Geminoid is my identity, you know. If I get old, the people say, you know, I'm not same as you, the robot and Android, right? So I don't like to hear that kind of opinion, you know, from people. Therefore, you know, I'm improving my face too.
To keep up with your Android?
Yes, right. How do you think, you know, I'm enough young as the Android, right? I've created my Android when I was 41 years old. And how do you guess my age, right? I believe, you know, my face looks like 40 or... Don't you think so?
So it's really a mirror, then? Somehow it's an improved mirror?
No, it's identity. Not it is no mirror. Well, in some sense it's a mirror, of course, but you know, it's identities. Now, why you are shooting me today? Because you wanna watch the my Android. You are interested in my robot. If I didn't create my robot, you know, you didn't come here, right? So Android is the most important things for you and me. Android is my identity. Android is my research result. See, therefore. We need to be identical. I don't like to lose my identity.
Conversation on the nature of being in an age of human-machine evolution.